Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Fabulous lineup of guests that will join me over the course of the next 3 hours. My guy Tyler Butabaugh has booked up an absolutely wonderful triumvirate of guests. When guests join us, they are on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today and visit CircusSportsLasVegas.com. Any breaking news that takes place throughout the evening here, breaking news on the Score, is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. A lot we will get into. We will talk some Bears. We will talk some Cubs. We will talk some White Sox. We'll do all that. Hope you all had an absolutely marvelous weekend. Weather was a little bit hit or miss, but I was still up out in these streets enjoying some time with the fam, enjoying the city of Chicago, getting out to the burbs as well. Really a busy weekend for me and mine. We had a, what did we do? You know, coming off of the kindergarten graduation from last week with the six-year-old, we had that rolling. And then we had a sex reveal party. We're figuring out, you know, my lovely niece, her husband, they've got one son, figuring out they got what the other baby's going to be that's on the way. They got another little boy coming. We had the family together doing that. In the midst of it also being my mom's birthday, so we were celebrating that also. Then, I actually haven't been to either side of town for a baseball game yet this season. So we decided, we're already in the South Loop. We decided to head a little bit further south, head out to 35th and Shields, went out to Sox Park for the game yesterday because my wife is a huge Red Sox fan. So usually when the Red Sox come into town, we make it a point to go check them out, do the house divided thing. Had a grand old time getting some family out there to Sox Park as well. So we had a great time doing that, even though it was coming off back-to-back wins for the Southsiders. So we did not see yet another victory. We didn't see him put a three-game win streak together. But we did enjoy ourselves out at the game. We had a good time going out there. And I know that we're going to get to a certain topic later on in the show where I do want your opinion on the various venues in the Chicago sports scene currently. You know, not necessarily, you know, stadium or two has been torn down or whatever, but I think for the most part, we have fairly long-standing venues like the United Center in my lifetime. You used to have the old Chicago Stadium, and now you got the UC. Certainly old Comiskey eventually became new Comiskey. That took place during my lifetime here as well. But a lot of the talk around town about the venues that these teams play in, the stadiums that they reside in, that they ply their trades, if you will. I wonder, just as we start to, we're going to be preparing to it in whatever form or fashion, wherever the Bears go or stay, you know, whatever adjustments happen to Soldier Field, whatever happens with Sox Park, and who knows, any other stadiums or arenas that might end up being a bit different than we've been accustomed to here. Going to talk a little bit later in the show about my faves, my personal faves, how I might power rank them. Certainly interested in your thoughts. We're not going to do that right off the bat. Do that a little bit later in the show as well, though. But since I got my guy Tyler Butabaugh here, and you know, I don't think, Tyler, we've worked together in a couple of weeks at this point. And sounds like you had a pretty cool weekend too. So I didn't realize you were an outdoorsman. I am not. Tyler, not in the least. I don't even like walking barefoot in my house, let alone like sleeping outside. So when you say apparently that you went camping over the weekend. Are we talking like glamping where you actually did have like central air and you just happened to be out in the wilderness somewhere? Or were you outside like sleeping in tents on like some rocks and stuff?
Oh, no. We had tents, my wife and my dog and I. But we did have an air mattress, which I guess people are saying that's kind of not roughing it up, you know, but, cause I'm not going to sleep on the hard rock and hard rock ground, but, right. Yeah, no, we just went camping at the Illinois State Beach up in Zion, just went for Saturday night and then stayed there, most of Sunday. So it was good. It was peaceful, but yeah, I do like camping. I just haven't gone in a very long time, just busy and stuff like that. But, I would consider myself more of an outdoorsy guy.
Now, so in cicada season, which, you know, the whole cicada thing is unique. I guess this particular year is unique because these are apparently the once every 17 year cicadas, whereas I feel like we've been hearing cicadas at least like the last 3 or 4 years. And I've been posing the question, why do we hear cicadas when they're only supposed to be coming every 17 years? But I feel like we've heard them every year for the last few years here. So these are the, you know, the world ender cicadas. These are the extinction level event cicadas that we're in the midst of right now. So if you're an outdoorsman and you're out there sleeping outside, man, and you're out in the wilderness, how are you not overwhelmed by these damn cicadas?
So I'm surprised that they weren't really that bad up in Zion. Yeah. Like, I didn't really hear them, which I was very shocked about. Not like over by like O'Hare or like more like just west of Chicago, that they are just everywhere and the sound is just piercing to your ears. But I was very surprised that I didn't, like, they were totally fine. They were like not even existent over in Zion, which is baffling.
Yeah, so for me, all right, if I'm actually going to try this camping thing, this outdoorsy thing, Zion, we're gonna put Zion on the list. And if I forget that Zion is the place to be for some outdoors activity, I'm gonna make sure I hit you up just so I can actually know, man, where was that spot that Tyler was telling me about that went too bad to go camp? Okay, and I'm gonna text you just so I know what that was. My weekend didn't involve any of that, though. My weekend involved some sports and some food and some family and everything else, which was a grand old time. I've never been camping, and frankly, if I'm being honest, probably never will go camping, although our son, my wife, and I are raising somebody who I think he sees himself as a bit of an outdoorsman as a six-year-old, but who knows? It's going to be hard to say. I guess if he becomes that, I'm going to have myself to blame when it comes down to it. But I'm hoping that won't end up being the case, because if he's an outdoorsman, then he's going to want to drag me out there with him. The outdoors will continue to be inhabited by your Chicago Bears. The mandatory minicamp, that ended, of course, last weekend, where the vets were out there doing their thing. And part of the way that – and I was actually on football night in Chicago with Loho hosting this evening, so make sure – you check that out on NBC Sports Chicago. Lawrence Holmes hosting tonight over there. Talking to him a little bit about a few different Bears topics, just coming off of, you know, the mandatory activities that were there. And I think the Bears roster is in a really intriguing place right now, because I feel like there's kind of an exciting blend of youth and experience. Without the roster being old here, you know, because you can have sometimes if you have a really established team, you know, a group of veterans who've kind of been together and done a lot together and kind of been through things for quite a while together. And we saw basically towards the end of the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy era, where the roster seemingly overnight kind of got real old. And part of that was because they said, all right, we feel like maybe we're on the cusp of something. So let's make that championship push. Let's see if there's an opportunity here to add a piece or two, to spend some money here or there to really get us over that hump, you know, to go beyond the double doink, to go beyond just a first round exit, a divisional round in the playoffs, and see if we can really make a push here. And so the roster got real old. It got old at backup quarterback. It got old on the D-line. It got old in the secondary. It got old in a whole lot of places, man. And right now, this is a Bears roster. And in the moment, that's like on the cusp of something. We don't know exactly what yet, but it is intriguing. It is obviously very exciting, whatever they're on the cusp of. It feels like they could continue to add some veteran presence in some key spots here, and they have begun to do that, which was exciting as the announcement came out today that Mercedes Lewis has now been added back to your Chicago Bears. Season 19 for the Bears tight end. And so now, you know, when you are either a young football player or perhaps even if you're a veteran football player and you're sort of evaluating different position groups, meeting rooms, and you're trying to figure out, all right, so if I'm going to potentially join up with that team, if that squad comes and pursues me, where might there be an opportunity here to maybe break in? It feels to me like the tight end room is maxed out. Feels like they're done at that point. We already know they've got Cole Kmet. He got his paper last offseason. He has performed well. He's gotten better every year that he's been in the National Football League. So that's your tight end one. Gerald Everett, a really good move tight end and, you know, good pass catcher, solid hands, exceptional run after catch, more finesse as a pass receiver than what Cole Kmet is. So it's good that Gerald Everett can bring that to the table. And now you've got your extension of the offensive line, essentially. You know, Cole Kmet has certainly become a better and better blocker throughout his career. And, you know, by comparison, Mercedes Lewis, I mean, he is truly one of the great blocking tight ends of all time. And I don't know here in modern times how many tight ends come into, and modern times, season 19. So, I mean, you know, I guess when he entered the NFL, maybe you can make the case it wasn't modern times when Mercedes Lewis first got drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars 19 seasons ago. But, you know, when you look at how the tight end position group shapes up at this point, you know, all we can do at this point is just assume health. And this is a pretty exciting tight end room when you think about it. Because you have your frontline guy in Cole Kmet, and, you know, up to this point, I wouldn't say Cole Kmet has shown himself as, like, one of the best tight ends in football, but a well above average tight end. And who knows? I'm certainly not here to put a ceiling on Cole Kmet because, you know, being me, being Mr. Development, I try to remind folks of that. Like, there's no reason to make a quick decision on a player early in their career. No reason to presume that a coach is or isn't going to improve, you know, throughout their career. We were talking about Matt Eberflus a bit when I was on with Parkins late last week. And who knows, man, like Matt Eberflus, I didn't even realize the guys on the afternoon show were telling me that he's the front runner, the betting favorite for NFL Coach of the Year. Now, to me, there's a lot of pump the brakes and slow your roll from that regard. But I'm more than willing to wait and see how Matt Eberflus continues to improve as a head coach. But from a player perspective, Cole Kmet, I don't think it's crazy talk to think that we could see Cole Kmet make a Pro Bowl at some point, you know, whether it's this season or at some point in his career, because he has shown himself as a guy who's willing to continue putting the work in to improve at his craft. And that, especially after you get paid, that can be a difficult thing to assume about a young football player. But we saw last season as evidence that Cole Kmet willing to continue to hone his craft, to get better at it. Gerald Everett is a guy who I think is in an interesting space in his career, where as the presumed number two tight end for the Bears, you know, he's going to get a lot of snaps. He's going to get plenty of reps. Shane Waldron is known as a guy who's, you know, willing to use multi-tight end sets. And does it mean that Gerald Everett is going to be a guy who's going to get a bunch of targets in this offense? Probably not. But he's shown flashes at points throughout his career where he can still be a guy who is capable of highlights, who can be a defensive mismatch for opponents with his elusiveness and his ability to create after the catch. So there's something exciting that's there in Gerald Everett as well for the plays he's made so far in his NFL career. And then Mercedes Lewis, I described him as an extension of the offensive line. And frankly, with the current shape of the Bears offensive line, they could use an extension. Now, what they could really use is some more offensive linemen. And at the moment, we just don't see him signing a bunch of additional guys. But I think there is reason to hope that there's going to be more depth that gets added there. I don't know exactly what the deal is, what the news is with Braxton Jones and, you know, why we're not seeing more of him as of yet. But between Braxton Jones and Nate Davis, I think we can at least keep our fingers crossed for now that they're going to be there and available during training camp. We'll see how center shakes out. Talk to a number of folks, not only on this radio station, but just walking around town. One of them was bringing it up on the train. We've taken the train down to Sox Park yesterday. Somebody's bringing up the center position for the Bears to me while I was just hanging out on the train. But it's an offensive line that, regardless of if myself or others think that the top line, the front five starters, are good enough to get it done, to play quality football, above average football, to be above replacement level as a group, whatever that might be, it's not a group we can really assume health with. And so that's, to me, as concerning as anything. Because of the amount of time that we've seen Braxton Jones miss, the amount of time that we've seen Tevin Jenkins miss, the amount of time in just one season with the Chicago Bears that we've seen Nate Davis miss for various reasons, on the field and off, injury and personal, you're going to need more. You're going to need more depth, I believe. Now, you know, I've been watching Ja'Tyre Carter since he was in college. Intriguing prospect. Hope the best for him. Same with Doug Kramer. Been calling his games during his Illini career. We'll see. Still a developmental guy. Karan Amagaji, I don't know. Another mid to late round pick with some athletic traits that they're excited about. But we don't know what they will truly develop into. So you want other guys who will be up front on the O-line who you can feel more confident in them counting on, more confident if they are called to start, that they'll be able to do so at a high level would be nice, but at least a comparable level, you know, a competent level. And that's where, you know, Shane Waldron and, you know, as the Bears play caller, the offensive staff in general, where they really have a role in that also, to find ways to call the offense in a way that takes pressure off of the O-line, off of the young quarterback. But I'm really interested in the blend of this roster, because on defense, there's a lot of experience. There's a lot of guys who have resumes that are building up right now and who've made a lot of plays in the National Football League. None of them are really super old, so that's a really strong position to be in when you've got that on defense. And now you've added some of that on offense too, where the offense isn't very long in the tooth either, but then you do have all this youth and vigor and excitement that'll be there on that side of the football. And a lot of guys who, you know, when you really look at it and say, all right, who are your quote-unquote leaders, a lot of guys who you would imagine can fit that bill. Even DJ Moore, where he's not the most vocal or verbal guy that's out there, but man, the example he sets, even that can really be someone you look to and say, that is a leader of the Bears, not just as a playmaker, but in what he brings to the table with the consistency of his effort, the intensity of his work ethic. All that really shows up for young football players as well. So I'm intrigued. I'm excited by the Bears roster, and I'm glad now they're beyond that phase where all the rookies and the veterans are out there getting that work in together, getting a good lather out there on the field, and getting to know each other. Because that's when you really have the best opportunity to get to know each other, when you're sort of meshing a football roster together. All right, go in the meeting rooms, you pass each other in the hallways, you have those kinds of conversations. Hey, where are you from? And what's your family life and all this? Who'd you play with? Who you been coached by? But then when you actually get out there on the field, start, you know, running around a little bit, maybe occasionally banging some heads here and there, it's where you can really start to build a true rapport. And so I think it's good that the Bears have now gotten beyond that phase where, all right, that's sort of the period on the end of the getting to know you sentence. Now the next thing is going to be when they get out there for training camp. So something to look forward to as it relates to the offseason and the next phase here for your Chicago Bears. And keep the Bears conversation rolling here, because we're going to get to a lot of baseball later on in the show as well. So let's take a time out, come back, and talk to Zach Pearson, one of the Bears reporters. He's on that beat, and see what his thoughts were after seeing the veterans out there with the young players and the thoughts from everything that's gone down here at Halas Hall, and certainly now having the elder statesman on what is, you know, a fairly young and in some ways perhaps still impressionable roster, getting Mercedes Lewis back into the mix here with Chicago. We'll talk to Zach Pearson about that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
It's pretty awesome. You know, there's obviously, you know, I feel that there's a light at the end of that tunnel. Right now we're working with our head down and we're building. And so, you know, just having that moment with myself, I do it every day, as I sit there and say, we're going to be pretty damn good. And so just got to keep working, keep going. And we're all excited. So it's really important to have that mindset. But also have the mindset of like, let's keep going. Let's keep working. Let's get after it.
That is, of course, a voice you're getting to know better and better. The voice of Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams, discussing his expectations for this squad. Thinks the Bears are going to be a pretty good football team. A lot of folks very much so agree with the Bears QB. I'm Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Let's go out to the Score hotline. Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book, CircaLasVegas.com. Where my guy Zach Pearson is there. He covers the Bears for BearReport.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. And you can find him on X at Zach with a K underscore Pearson. That's Zach underscore Pearson. Zach, what's happening this evening? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Enjoying a little bit of a day off before the final, OTA practice on Wednesday out there at Hallis Hall. So, just kind of enjoying my day and doing pretty good.
Yeah, that is a good thing to be able to take that exhale when it's available to you before heading back up to Hallis. As you had the opportunity to sort of witness the vets out there with the youngsters and the mandatory minicamp that recently ended, what were your impressions then? You know, we saw that the young guys who took the field for a little while before that, and then more and more vets showed up, then you had the mandatory minicamp. So it's kind of this ramp-up phase for Caleb Williams and some of the other youngsters before taking the field with the vets. Once they were out there with the vets, what were your impressions of how the whole operation looked?
Yeah, there were a few things. You know, I think there's certainly a buzz around this team. There's excitement around this team, not only with Caleb Williams, but the additions they made on offense, the defense that they're bringing back, who, you know, last season in the final, eight games when they got Montez Sweat, were a different unit. They looked good. They were improving as the season went on. I was curious to see how it would look with Caleb Williams going up against his defense in team drills. We saw him at rookie minicamp, and obviously that's a roster of rookies and guys who are trying out, so it's, you know, hard to kind of judge on that. OTAs, not everyone was there, but this was kind of our first chance to see him go against, you know, 95% of that defense. And I was kind of impressed with how he got better each and every day. Obviously, you know, there are going to be some rookie mistakes. That's just kind of natural. So, you know, the cadence issues were one thing that came up, the progressions, getting the ball out quick. But I think as the days went on, he got better at that, with the defensive side of the football. Secondary, to me, still looks really good. I still think that's going to be the strength of this team. They're a confident bunch. They have some familiarity now playing with each other. And I think overall, you know, I talk about that buzz. I think this is a team that believes in that building. Like, they're close to being something special, maybe not this year, but kind of working that way and building towards that for the future. So, yeah, it was just kind of fun to be back there and see the full team and the excitement around them.
You mentioned the cadence issues, and that's, you know, gotten some interest, some intrigue over the last few days with some of the reporting on that. And, you know, so many rookie quarterbacks, to your point, end up going through something similar where you're transitioning from a college system, less verbiage, really less requirement to even communicate any verbiage at all. A lot of clapping and whatnot that is required pre-snap in college and holding up signs and everything else. So a lot of rookie quarterbacks go through that, mini camps and OTAs. I do think back to the rookie season of Mitchell Trubisky, and I think back to a preseason game, and I think it was the third preseason game that year where he got a lot of time with the ones finally. And folks had wondered, all right, they drafted this rookie and number two, and is he going to be able to handle this thing? And the cadence was as big of an issue for Trubisky in this preseason game. I believe it was against the Tennessee Titans. And I remember one particular play where the parabolic mics could hear Dow Loggins calling from the sidelines, snap it, Mitchell. Yep. And, you know, he seemed overwhelmed by that. How bad were the cadence issues from Caleb, and how concerning is your impression of what this, should potentially concern folks with?
Yeah, it was noticeable, and it was noticeable with, you know, false starts during team drills. It was noticeable with a couple of delay of games in team drills. It happened a couple times a day during the three-day period. It's a little bit of a concern. Now, it is mandatory minicamp. He's working hard. They're not holding him back from anything. You know, we already know that they kind of pushed him into the playbook and things like that. And getting that cadence down is going to be something that he's going to continue to work on. We heard from Tevin Jenkins, and he said, you know, during team meetings, they're working on it with Caleb. He's being loud. He's kind of helping him through it. And I think it's actually going to benefit him a little bit to go through this with this defense that he's facing, because, you know, they have loud guys. They have checks. They have their things they're doing on the defensive side of the football with veterans. So for Caleb to kind of use that, using OTAs and kind of get that down, I think it should be cleared up by the end of training camp. If we're in the preseason and this is kind of a bigger issue, it'd be a little bit of a worry. Obviously, you know, Caleb was kind of more of a highly rated prospect than Mitch, you know, coming out of college. But it is different. I mean, the college game is totally different with the play calls and the cadence and everything like that. You mentioned it with the signs. You know, teams usually call two plays at a time sometimes, let the quarterback adjust, things like that. So now he's got the communication in the helmet as well. So it is different for him at the pro level. Now, as far as will this be a problem going into the preseason, into the regular season, I don't expect that judging by, you know, what I've seen from Caleb. He seems like he can identify his problems. He can identify what's going on, what's wrong, how he can fix them. It just seems like a downright, you know, hard worker. And I would be absolutely shocked if this was kind of a lingering issue going into the regular season.
Zach Pearson covers the Bears for BearReport.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Is my guest during Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and you can find him on X at Zach_Pearson. I was talking at the top of the show, Zach, about the tight end position. And, I mean, it feels like, assuming health, the tight end room is maxed out, you know, between Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, now Mercedes Lewis. Big Dog gets back into the mix there. So you're going three deep at tight end, and Lewis can be sort of that extension of the offensive line. It feels like this is now a very deep and talented tight end room, where for a couple of years it kind of felt like, all right, is Cole Kmet kind of the only guy that can really be counted on? So how much of a, I suppose I'll use the term, weapon can the tight end position be this season?
Yeah, I mean, one guy that really impressed me out there was Gerald Everett. I was watching him every day, and he got the football a lot more than I thought he was going to be. And, you know, he's a veteran in this league as well. I just thought going into this, Cole Kmet would be the primary guy. But it looks like they're going to have some reps there for Gerald Everett as well. Now you add Mercedes Lewis, who was here last year, another vet that can kind of get into Caleb Williams' head a little bit to help him out. But you know, Cole Kmet's probably going to be the primary target in this offense moving forward. And I think he's kind of due for another big season. We've seen him get better every single year after they drafted him, you know, out of Notre Dame. And early on in his career, you know, I had some doubts, you know, the first two seasons, if he could take that next step. I think he's kind of proven he can as the years have gone on. But I think it could be a valuable asset. You know, we talk about the wide receivers and what they added at running back and those guys being the primary options, but he'll kind of have those, you know, quote-unquote safety nets at tight end if he needs them. I'm kind of curious to see how Shane Waldron will deploy, you know, the offense. You know, you mentioned kind of the extension of the offensive line as well, blocking-wise. I'll be kind of curious to see how much 12 personnel and things they go into with the offense early on, and who kind of stands out if they're going to split reps there, if Cole Kmet is the primary guy. But early on, you know, like I said, I was kind of impressed with Gerald Everett, and I think he can be valuable to this offense moving forward.
Now, the mandatory minicamp, that was the first opportunity to see Roma Dunze out there with everyone else as a part of the offense too. And Lawrence Holmes, I thought, made a really good point on one of the shows last week here on The Score, where he was talking about the development of Roma Dunze and how there's going to be an opportunity for a top 10 pick as a receiver. Think back to the Kevin White time, where I think it was a number 7 pick in the draft, and all these expectations that were there, you know, sort of hoist upon Kevin White. And there was no, between injury and just development, there was just a lot of angst about Kevin White from right off the bat, and it just stayed there throughout his Bears career. Adunze gets to step into a deep receiver room and having a quarterback who was the number 1 overall pick, where there's going to be more of the harsh glare of expectation on Caleb Williams than anyone else on this Bears offense. So what was it like to see Rome Odunze out there with the other wideouts? And what do you think about the position he finds himself in?
Yeah, he looks like he just fits. I mean, he looks like a polished wide receiver. The route running is impressive. How he can go up and kind of high point the football, go up and get that football, stood out to me. There was a throw, I believe it was on Thursday, where Caleb kind of put in a little bit of tight coverage in the back corner of the end zone, and Rome went up and got it over two guys. And that was kind of like one of those, okay, wow, they have a dude here at wide receiver. And I think that's a good point. You know, he doesn't have to come in and be the number one guy right away. I think he's actually in a really good role where he can, you know, be behind DJ Moore and be behind Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, probably a Hall of Famer. DJ Moore, just coming off the best year of his career last season. He can learn from those guys, and he'll get his opportunities as well if defenses can hone in on Moore and Allen. So it's kind of like one of those, like, no pressure, can kind of go out there and play freely type of, you know, situation. And for what I've seen, you know, Caleb loves him. I think they got the connection starting to kind of get down there and you know, work a little bit on it this off season. But yeah, I feel like there's already a connection there, and it'll continue to kind of grow. I feel like Caleb's comfortable with Rome out there, you know, despite them both being rookies. You know, there's times in, you know, the NFL where rookies come in and veteran quarterbacks maybe are not, you know, comfortable throwing with them right away or trust them right away. That wasn't really the case. I think Caleb can trust Rome, is comfortable throwing with him, and, you know, as far as his fit, like I said, I think it's perfect. I think he's learning from these two guys, and he can kind of, you know, come in and not have a lot of that pressure on him. And, you know, when we talked to him after the draft, and we talked about that workout with Keenan and DJ, Rome told us that he was, you know, kind of watching them, and it's like, wow, you know, okay, this is what the NFL looks like. And he said right away he felt like he belonged. He felt like he was good enough to belong at the next level. So, yeah, a kid with a lot of confidence, and I think they'll take him far on the football field.
The offensive line, if there's anywhere,
yeah.
I mean, on the team as a whole, I certainly would add pass rush, you know, as far as a list of concerns here. But the O-line, if everyone's healthy amongst the starters, I think there's enough to feel good about. Now that you've kind of seen him on the hoof and certain guys in and out of the lineup through mini camps and OTAs, what's the state of the state on the O-line right now?
Yeah, I think they're good on the outside. I think Darnell Wright, you know, is your guy at right tackle. I think Braxton Jones is the guy you can win with at left tackle. My biggest concern would be on the interior offensive line. Have they finally figured out the center position with either Ryan Bates or Coleman Shelton? I mean, over the last couple of years, how many times have we seen bad snaps, derailed drives, you know, back there for the Bears offense? I don't know who's going to start. They've been alternating every single day. Matt Eberflus says it's kind of an open competition. Hopefully one of those guys establishes as a starter soon enough so that, you know, Caleb can get familiar with them. My concerns with right guard at Nate Davis, you know, he was there. He did not do much in terms of team drills. That's kind of been the wrap on him with OTAs. I know, you know, he went through what he went through last offseason. This year, you know, I'll give him through training camp to kind of see where he's at. But if he's missing practices, it's a little bit of a concern. And then I think with Tevin Jenkins, you know, you have a guy who has shown us he can play, you know, at a high level in this league. It looks like he kind of got comfortable at that left guard position. He's kind of locked in there. Can he stay healthy? If he can't stay healthy, you know, there's going to be some shuffle on that offensive line. But, you know, I'm with you. Outside of a pass rusher, I think the interior offensive line is my biggest question mark and something that, you know, it could hold the offense back a little bit. I mentioned the bad snaps. If there's poor run blocking, poor pass protection in those three spots, you know, especially Jenkins can't stay healthy. So, yeah, you know, and chances are someone on the offensive line is going to get hurt, probably multiple people, and will miss multiple games. It's kind of the reality of the NFL. So I do think the depth there, you know, having Shelton and Bates, they signed Matt Pryor as well, the depth's a little better. I would just kind of hope they can solidify that center spot and get Davis on the right track and Tevin Jenkins stay healthy. If that's the case, you know, I agree. I think you have an offensive line you can win with there.
Real quick, Zach, before I let you go, I'm going to ask listeners later in the show about their favorite Chicago sports venue, because there's been so much talk about stadiums with the Bears and the Sox and what have you. What would you rank as the number one venue you enjoy going to see a game at?
Oh, man, I think it's got to be in Chicago, the United Center.
Okay.
And I think it's, you know, I've been to a Bulls playoff game. I've been fortunate enough to go to a Bulls playoff game. I've been fortunate enough to go to a Blackhawks playoff game. It's a fun atmosphere. I love Wrigley. You know, I grew up a Cubs fan. But, yeah, I'd have to say United Center. When those two teams are good, especially together, man, it's just kind of a fun atmosphere to kind of be in.
That is an excellent submission straight out the gate. Zach, appreciate you taking the time tonight, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That is Zach Pearson of BearReport.com on X at Zach_Pearson. When we return, we got some sound from one of the top football minds covering the sport out there in the industry. And like I mentioned, later on in the show, I'm going to ask your opinion about that as well. We're not going to open up the phone lines about it quite yet, though, but I'm intrigued because as far as recent months here, and especially during the baseball season, me and my family, a bunch of family, went out to Sox Park yesterday, out to Guarantee Rate Field, watched the White Sox versus the Red Sox. I gotta tell you, man, I enjoy going to games out there. I know a lot of folks, yeah, the stadium's old and blah, blah, blah. I have a good time when I go out there. So we'll come back around to that later on in the show, but we'll keep the Bears discussion rolling next. You'll hear from Chris Sims along with myself, Anthony Harum. I got Tyler Butterball on the ones and twos. This is The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Harum on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Coming towards the end of hour number one here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Big voice guy told you. I am Anthony Harum. Fun show so far tonight. We're in the midst of some Bears conversation, and Chris Sims, as he is wont to do, he was on NBC Sports Chicago on the Under Center podcast talking about the Bears quarterback situation. One of the things that he broke down was comparing, you know, the mechanics of Justin Fields is something I talked about a lot in this city during the time that Justin Fields was the Bears quarterback. Chris Sims, former professional quarterback, former NFL quarterback himself, drew a little bit of comparison and contrast between Caleb and Justin mechanically.
Caleb is like as gifted a natural a thrower as you're ever going to find, right? Caleb is that guy that I go, he's a quarterback who's a great athlete. Justin Fields, I would say, is a great athlete who's still learning to be a better quarterback, if that makes sense to you guys, right?
Sure.
That's how I kind of view it. Yeah, and Caleb, listen, when his mechanics are flawless, right? When he's in the pocket and it's all clean and there's somebody open, he's got to throw a seam or an in-cut. I mean, he does it. It's textbook. And, of course, we know he can do it coloring outside the lines and not textbook either. And that's what makes him great. But I don't see much like mechanically. I think with Caleb Williams, it's going to be more about, you know, just finding that gauge or that fine line to go, wait, this is aggressive. This is reckless and stupid, right? Where is that in the NFL compared to college? Because yeah, he got away with things in college where I go, oh, I don't know if you're going to go away with that in the NFL, but he's smart. He's nuanced. He's a gym rat. He loves the game, all that. Justin Fields, yes, that was my big issue. I mean, most of Chicago crapped on me for a year. This was hilarious. Is most of Chicago crapped on me for like a year and a half, and then all of a sudden it became, huh, maybe he's right. Maybe he's not that great of a thrower. And it like totally reversed around. But yeah, does he still have this where it's elbow first to start his motion to throw the ball? Yes, he still does that. Now he's learned to control it a little bit better, but you know, can he put the pace or be as accurate on his best day like Caleb Williams? No, he cannot.
And Caleb certainly has special traits as a passer. There's no doubt about that. And by comparison with the two, we'll see, you know, how much of it ends up breaking down from Caleb Williams when there's legitimate duress that's on him also. So, you know, evaluating them at this point in their development, there's no doubt Caleb is further along as a passer, as a thrower of the football, as a, you know, really a passer of the football is the way I really even prefer to say that by comparison, than what Justin Fields was at this point in his development. And then the continued development will need to be evaluated moving forward. And one element of Justin's game that he really never fully got rid of that he'll need to continue honing in on and working at is part of why, you know, some of his passes ended up as deflections or at times perhaps even interceptions. There's this last little hitch in his throwing motion where he's looking and he's preparing to deliver that load to a rival where you've decided that you're going to throw the football out to your particular receiver, out to your target. And there's that one last little pat that's there before he actually gets into his throwing motion. Now, his throwing motion is longer than Caleb's, but Caleb does, at least at this point. This is, I haven't been to watch him in any mini camps myself. The video that comes out from the Bears and from members of the media, there is that last little casual pat of the football before he actually cuts it loose. That's one of those things that you do want to see a young quarterback continue to get out of his game, you know, just because it does give that additional millimoment for defenders to react to the football. And for some of these great DBs, you know, the Jalen Johnsons of the world, that's all they need, man. You just need to give them that extra little eyelash to react to the football. And then once they do, it can be a deflection. It might even be an interception. It might turn into a pick six. So you want to take as much anticipation away from the opposing defender as you can. That's why, as crazy as it is to think about, like a few years ago, how Patrick Mahomes throwing no-look passes on a football field, how wild that seemed. Now you're seeing a whole lot of folks starting to add that to their game because you just want to take some of the decisiveness away from those opposing defenders at the second and third level. And if they don't know where you're going with the ball, or at least as little reaction time as you can give them to know where you're going with the football, it increases the odds you'll be able to get it there without a defensive body in between you and your intended pass receiver. We may come back around to some football conversation later on in the show as well. Like I mentioned, we're going to get into some stadium conversation. And you know what, man? That might be where I start with Steve Stone, because he has seen every baseball stadium on the map and a bunch of them around the globe as well. Stoney's going to be with me on the other side of this time. I want his thoughts on this ballpark on the south side until we get into some conversation about the White Sox roster as a whole. We'll do that next. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Coming towards the end of hour number one here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Big voice guy told you. I am Anthony Herron. Fun show so far tonight. We're in the midst of some Bears conversation, and Chris Sims, as he is wont to do, he was on NBC Sports Chicago on the Under Center podcast talking about the Bears quarterback situation. One of the things that he broke down was comparing, you know, the mechanics of Justin Fields is something I talked about a lot in this city during the time that Justin Fields was the Bears quarterback. Chris Sims, former professional quarterback, former NFL quarterback himself, drew a little bit of comparison and contrast between Caleb and Justin mechanically.
Caleb is like as gifted a natural a thrower as you're ever going to find, right? Caleb is that guy that I go, he's a quarterback who's a great athlete. Justin Fields, I would say, is a great athlete who's still learning to be a better quarterback, if that makes sense to you guys, right?
Sure.
That's how I kind of view it. Yeah, and Caleb, listen, when his mechanics are flawless, right? When he's in the pocket and it's all clean and there's somebody open, he's got to throw a seam or an in-cut. I mean, he does it. It's textbook. And, of course, we know he can do it coloring outside the lines and not textbook either. And that's what makes him great. But I don't see much like mechanically. I think with Caleb Williams, it's going to be more about, you know, just finding that gauge or that fine line to go, wait, this is aggressive. This is reckless and stupid, right? Where is that in the NFL compared to college? Because yeah, he got away with things in college where I go, oh, I don't know if you're going to go away with that in the NFL, but he's smart. He's nuanced. He's a gym rat. He loves the game, all that. Justin Fields, yes, that was my big issue. I mean, most of Chicago crapped on me for a year. This was hilarious. Is most of Chicago crapped on me for like a year and a half, and then all of a sudden it became, huh, maybe he's right. Maybe he's not that great of a thrower. And it like totally reversed around. But yeah, does he still have this where it's elbow first to start his motion to throw the ball? Yes, he still does that. Now he's learned to control it a little bit better, but you know, can he put the pace or be as accurate on his best day like Caleb Williams? No, he cannot.
And Caleb certainly has special traits as a passer. There's no doubt about that. By comparison with the two, we'll see, you know, how much of it ends up breaking down from Caleb Williams when there's legitimate duress that's on him also. So, you know, evaluating them at this point in their development, there's no doubt Caleb is further along as a passer, as a thrower of the football, as a, you know, really a passer of the football is the way I really even prefer to say that by comparison than what Justin Fields was at this point in his development And then the continued development will need to be evaluated moving forward. And one element of Justin's game that he really never fully got rid of that he'll need to continue honing in on and working at is part of why, you know, some of his passes ended up as deflections or at times perhaps even interceptions. There's this last little hitch in his throwing motion where he's looking and he's preparing to deliver that load to a rival where you've decided that you're going to throw the football out to your particular receiver, out to your target, and there's that one last little pat that's there before he actually gets into his throwing motion. Now, his throwing motion is longer than Caleb's, but Caleb does, at least at this point, I haven't been to watch him in any mini camps myself. The video that comes out from the Bears and from members of the media, there is that last little casual pat of the football before he actually cuts it loose. That's one of those things that you do want to see a young quarterback continue to get out of his game, you know, just because it does give that additional millimoment for defenders to react to the football. And for some of these great DBs, you know, the Jalen Johnsons of the world, that's all they need, man. You just need to give them that extra little eyelash to react to the football. And then once they do, it can be a deflection. It might even be an interception. It might turn into a pick six. So you want to take as much anticipation away from the opposing defender as you can. That's why, as crazy as it is to think about, like a few years ago, how Patrick Mahomes throwing no-look passes on a football field, how wild that seemed. Now you're seeing a whole lot of folks starting to add that to their game because you just want to take some of the decisiveness away from those opposing defenders at the second and third level. And if they don't know where you're going with the ball, or at least as little reaction time as you can give them to know where you're going with the football, it increases the odds you'll be able to get it there without a defensive body in between you and your intended pass receiver. We may come back around to some football conversation later on in the show as well. Like I mentioned, we're going to get into some stadium conversation. And you know what, man? That might be where I start with Steve Stone, because he has seen every baseball stadium on the map and a bunch of them around the globe as well. Stoney's going to be with me on the other side of this time. I want his thoughts on this ballpark on the south side until we get into some conversation about the White Sox roster as a whole. We'll do that next. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.